morning and welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church this morning. Good to be here after a good Christmas holiday. Glad to see everyone this morning. We're going to start out by recognizing any visitors. Do we have any visitors this morning? Glad you're here with us this morning. Do we have any announcements this morning? Savetta?
During the early part of 2010, the Census Bureau representative has been here, and there are notes in the paper when they will be at either City Hall or the library, and they pay $14 an hour. It is short term, like they're thinking about 6 weeks, but if you're interested in that kind of work, you might take note, and we have some brochures in the vestibule, and you can look at them there and respond as you feel led to. Also, we've got two graduates, December graduates, and where did Yaroslav end up? There he is. Yaroslav, can you... Yaroslav's mom is with him, and Savetta too. They're kind of hid back there. But Yaroslav has graduated as a nurse, and I hope he knows everything in this book. But in case he doesn't, he chose his choice of book. So Yaroslav, from the church, your choice of book is cancer treatment, and blessings on you, and God bless you. And he has a word to say. He has a word to say to it.
I wasn't prepared for this Sunday, but I will say. I wanted to say three things. I'm very thankful to God that this is our fifth year and we've made it. We doubted. Many of you doubted. Many of our relatives doubted. But they say that the medical community says that once immigrants lived 5 years, they're not a high-risk population. So we are not a high-risk population anymore. We will not bring... we didn't get sick with TB or HIV or any other diseases, so I guess you can trust us. We're fine. I'm very thankful to God because He made it possible, and we just got through all this time. And I'm very thankful to you. I'm very thankful to each of you and to those especially who supported us with prayers, with financial support. We wouldn't be able to have food on the table. We wouldn't be able to... I wouldn't be able to go to school. So I feel like you deserve more than just thanks, and I hope that I will be able to serve you as a church and as a community in the future. And I'm very thankful to my wife because I think when I got my degree in bachelor in nursing, she got her degree in patience, grace, and love. She's been very patient with me, and she's been patient with all of us. So thank you so much. And I had to say that in public because she usually doesn't take me seriously. I wonder how we made the two kids together. But those two three things I wanted to say. So thank you very much, and God bless you.
Paul Tucker also graduated. We chose his book, Patrick and I, funerals, weddings, communion, and all of that important stuff that ministers get to do. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Wow. I'm not going to try to follow up your slow speech. That was great. I just want to say thank you. It's just been an incredible few weeks here. So, you know, just thank you. Thank you all for everything, prayer, support, and mostly just thanks to God for getting me this far. So, with that, do we have any more announcements?
Youth Evangelism Conference begins today. Registration begins at 2 o'clock. And it's down at the West Nashville Conference Presbyterian Church, the what hotel?
Holiday Inn Express.
Holiday Inn Express downtown and Rocket Town. That'll be the three venues. I think registration is at Holiday Inn Express downtown. On Broadway, I think I'm right on that.
That's right.
And Susan is on her way right now, getting on her soapbox. We built the soapbox. She's going to be on there. And others will be, she'll be working with others in it too. She's not totally in charge. Okay.
Right. Yeah, we're meeting.
That event, we've got 10 or 12, 8 or 10
something like
children,
that. Yeah.
Youth. Patrick will be participating also.
We're meeting here. We're meeting here at 2. I think registration is at 3.
3, okay.
Meeting here at 2, and we just asked for the youth to bring money for dinner tomorrow night and blankets that we'll be giving out to the homeless. So just remember those two things and meet here at 2 for that. If there's no more announcements, we'll go ahead and pause for a moment of silent prayer and the lighting of the candles. Call to worship this morning is responsive and can be found in the bulletin. If you'll please stand with me. Praise the Lord of the whole universe, the heavens, the angels, the sun, the moon, and shining stars.
The earth and everything within it, every animal and bird, every fish,
every mountain and hill, every tree and plant, every ocean, river, and stream, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, every ruler and governor, all peoples, every nation, every prophet.
Praise the one whose glory the angels sang, glory to God in the highest heaven.
And on earth, peace, goodwill among all people.
Young men and maidens, old men and children,
let them praise the name of the Lord.
For his name alone is exalted.
Turn to 145. O come, all ye faithful.
Come and do.
join me for prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we do come adoring you. Lord, we thank you for your blessings to us, and especially that blessing of Jesus. Lord, we want to express our adoration to him, and we know that we can do it through song and through listening to him and through reading about him. And Lord, just to affirming our faith in him and yourself. And Lord, we know you to be God of the heavens, God who is the Spirit, but we know you to be also God in the flesh, Jesus, the one who came to save us from our sins. And Lord, we thank you today that we have that hope of an eternity with you, that no sin separates us from you, that you have paid for them on the cross. And we do certainly trust in that cross. And Lord, your work there. And as we have assembled today, we pray that we could truly lift up our hearts in joy and thanksgiving and adoration unto you, that we could be a witness to those around us, and we could take from this place the joy that the world out there needs. And Father, we offer our prayer in the precious name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." And you may be seated.
Our statement of faith this morning is found in the Apostles' Creed, which can be found in the hymnal on page 716 or on the screen behind me, and it is in unison. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Call to confession comes from James chapter 4 verse 8. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Our prayer of confession is also in unison, and it comes from Colossians chapter 3. God of wisdom and grace, guide us to be a people of compassion and kindness. When we clothe ourselves in sin, forgive us. When we separate ourselves from you and your people, bind us together as one. When we withhold forgiveness or harbor hatred, cover us with your mercy, that we may be bound together in love and be guided into your perfect harmony. May your peace rule in our hearts and your forgiveness flow through our lives. Clothe us in mercy and patience we so desperately seek. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our words of assurance come from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 18. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ.
Turn to number 166. Let's sing the first, second, and fifth verses.
Now to express our thanks to God, our offertory sentence: God looks at the heart, not the hand; the giver, not the gift. Would our ushers please come forward at this time?
Sunday was my mother's 61st wedding anniversary, and today's my 34th. So I'm blessed to have had her with me for her wedding anniversary and my own. And the song I'm going to sing you today, my dad sang every year at Christmas. Some of you were blessed to hear my dad sing. And you know why I'm crying? Because he had the voice from heaven. And sorry, Mom. But this song is real special to me, and I hope it'll be special for all of you. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
Need to awake.
Now for the children to come forward for children's time, and there's also children's church this morning. Thank you.
turn to page 152. Let's do the first and last verse.
Scripture lesson this morning comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. The word of God for the people of God.
Colossians 3
is about
living as Christians, living in the church and living in the world, our worship, our life in the world. Christmas is not over, friends. The Eastern Church, it became Eastern and Western back in the 1000s, so about 1,000 years ago. They couldn't agree on who was going to be in charge, so the church split. We refer to them as Eastern Orthodox or Russian Orthodox or just the Eastern Church, and then the Western Church. At that time, it was Eastern and Western, and the Western Church became known to us as the Catholic Church, and with headquarters in Rome. The Eastern Church, headquarters in Constantinople. There's a song about that that makes that word so pretty, I think, but you don't want me to sing it today. Christmas, we are only 3 days into a 12-day observance. 3 days into a 12-day observance. Well, we're in the fourth day, I guess. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. No, we're in the third day. My math, when I stand up, is not too good, right? We talk about the 12 days of Christmas, and different things happen each day, or we emphasize that, or it is emphasized in at least one song. Now, some people have already put Christmas away. Andrea referred to putting Christ back in the box. Let's don't ever think of putting Him back in the box, closing Him up till next Christmas. Becky and Bob are going to Russia, and Becky told me at the end of the 8 o'clock service that they were going to Russia to celebrate Christmas again with the Eastern Church on the 7th. And she already has plans for that. She said she may cook, but she may just take people out. And she's been cooking all fall for us here on Wednesday night, and I told her to take a break and go out and relax and enjoy it more. Is your Christmas over? Did Christ's coming, has it made a difference? Our celebration of it this week, has Christ coming into your life as your Savior, what difference does that make? Well, if it didn't make some differences, something was wrong with that coming or that experience. Samuel is really First Samuel. I said Second Samuel. Can't blame it on the secretary when you're doing your own typing, at least on my sermon notes. First Samuel, their problem is they didn't catch it. First Samuel, chapter 2. And the child Samuel grew and was in favor with both the Lord and also with men. He grew physically, but he also grew in his relationship with God, and he grew in his relationship with those around him. That's the way life is. We have a relationship with God, Christians, and we have relationships with other people. And both of them are very important. And if we can't relate to other people in a Christian matter, it says something negatively about our relationship with God. Then in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, mind,
body and in favor with God and man.
That's not scripture, the next line, though it is scriptural, a scriptural thought. It is God's desire. It is God's desire that Christians grow in their relationship with Him. God wants us to grow in our relationship with Him. It doesn't please Him too much because it doesn't do us much good. It doesn't do the cause of Christianity, the cause of Christ, much good if after the celebrations, if we put Jesus back in the box, put Him away in the attic or the basement or a hall closet somewhere or wherever our closet is. Having just celebrated Christmas, or while we're still in our celebration of the birth of the one who came to save us from our sins. And as the year comes to an end, and as we are about to begin a new year, it's a good time to think about growth. Spiritually, it's a good time for the church to think about growth physically. Isn't it? Or is it? Verse 10 of our lesson, you have it there on a sheet before you. I trust that you do. Paul is talking to the Colossians, the Christians in Colossae. And he says, have put on the new self, we've done away with the old self, and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Renewal. That's growth, hopefully. Hopefully we're not being renewed going backwards in our relationship with God. We'd be calling that backsliding instead of renewal. It is being renewed. Our new self, our new relationship with God is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of Christ, or image of its creator. God the Creator, but Christ was there at the creation. The Apostle Paul wrote much about moving forward, not staying where he was, and moving on to a different level in his relationship with God. Though he said he had learned to be at comfort or at peace, content is the King James word, I believe, in whatever state he was in, whether he was rich or poor or had a lot or had little. And I think that may have had to do with what area of the country he was in or what position in life he was in at that time. He also talked much about always moving forward. So he wrote to the Christians at Philippi. It's in the third chapter, in beginning with verse 14. Philippians 3:14, he says, I press toward the mark. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
He's pressing, I think, toward heaven. He pressed on. He didn't just get inside the gate, so to speak, or inside a relationship with Jesus and stop. He kept plugging away. And he says in verse 15, let us, talking about himself and the readers of this in Philippi, but anybody else that reads it, let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God will reveal even this unto you. So don't sit still. It's always moving forward. What I have discovered is that a large number of Christians have no desire to get any closer to God than they already are. Than they are when they first come into fellowship with Him. I still remember a former church that I pastored, and one man, good man, faithful church man, but one day he stated, if we can pay the bills and pay the preacher and pay our presbyterial apportionment and our tithe to the denomination, and this church paid those, he says, we don't worry too much about reaching any new people. If we got just enough to keep the doors open, what he was saying. And that's a good thought. We need that. But it sure is a limited thought. He didn't want to, for the church to grow too big. And there may be a number of reasons. You kind of lose the intimacy of the small group, etc., etc. That kind of illustrates many people's feeling about a relationship with God. Don't want to get too close. Don't want anybody to think that we are fanatics. We don't want to... But what is it that we don't want to do? We're pleased just to be a part, but not worry too much about anybody else being a part. There's some words that are biblical words, theological words. One of them is justification, but we don't want to get too excited about how we are justified. There's another word like regeneration. That's what Paul is talking about. We're new people. We're new people when we come to Christ. We've been regenerated, recreated. 2 Corinthians, you are a new creation. And then there's the adoption. Well, do we want to talk too much about adoption, being adopted into God's family? Sanctification, oh, heavens no. That's for those holiness people. Sanctified holy, they call it. Then there is growth in grace. Well, I've talked about that. We're kind of satisfied with where we are. Too many of us in the church are. In so many cases, these theological words are no more than words. These biblical experiences, we don't want to get very much involved with things that are too spiritual. Am I being unfair? Have I read the society that I deal with somewhat correctly? Or am I out of my mind? Advent, Christmas. What difference does Jesus make in how we live? What difference does Jesus' coming make in how we live? What difference does He make? Now, from the
guilt aspect and the children aspect, so many more toys to soon grow tired of. For the adults, so many neckties. I didn't get a necktie this year. What happened? So many whatever. Socks. Didn't get a pair of socks. Got it all in one gift. Okay. So many things to soon be laid aside. And we get excited about it for a while, but then they soon grow old and we want something else. Relationship with Christ is vertical. Between us and God the Father and Christ who is at God's right hand. Relationship with God and Christ also sends us out to other people in a positive way. It's not just between us and God and nobody else. It's between us and God. Somebody wrote a song and sang it some years ago, a country song, "Me and Jesus Got a Good Thing Going." Just me and Jesus, and that is wonderful. We come to Jesus as we are. Nobody can do it for us. It's good to have this special relationship with Jesus and have a good thing going with Jesus. But it must not stop there, because Jesus sends us out to relate to other people. That's what we're called for. That's one of the things that we are redeemed for. So what difference does Jesus Christ coming make? What does His coming, what difference does it make in how we live vertically or in our relationship with God, and how we live horizontally in our relationship with other people? Colossians chapter 3. We'll get to Colossians chapter 3. This chapter is about our relationship with God and how we live before Him. It's also about how we come to worship Him. That's the last part of it. It's our worship of Him, and it's also our relationship with other people. I see it as a call to Christians to do better. A call to Christians to do better. These were Christian people in Colossae, but they were in need of doing better, being better people. He had some words concerning their worship. We don't know what the problem was, if there was a problem. The church that we were at in El Dorado, Arkansas, had a daycare. And the state had people that oversaw all the daycares. And there was a lady in our neighborhood, our area, who kept checking on our daycare. And she would come and she would leave us things to do. And she'd come back later to see if we had done them. And she just kept on and kept on. But she always, it seemed, had a suggestion. I think she always did. Had a suggestion of how we could improve. And I was kind of the contact person, the one that met her first and had to listen to her. And nice lady, though. But she was encouraging us over and over and over. And so one day I told her, this point blank, we don't want to do any better. We're as good as any other daycare in town. We're happy where we are, and just leave us alone. Oh, she didn't listen. And she told me that her goal, we would never get to the place where we could rest. There was always something to improve on. And she was encouraging us every visit to improve, do something a little better. And isn't it that way in the Christian life? Isn't it that way in the Christian life? There is always room for improvement. We can see it in other people. We may not see it in ourselves, but we can see it in other people. But friends, there's room in my life for improvement too. The Apostle Paul points out in this third chapter of Colossians that we are not the same as we used to be as Christians. Christians are not the same as they were before they became Christians. We are saved people. We are redeemed people. We are justified people. We are regenerated people. And he says, we have died. If we're trusting in Christ as our Savior, we have died to the old self and are now in Christ. God chose us. And then he called us to be his special people. And in Christ, we are no longer involved in certain activity. And Paul gives us quite a long list of things that, as new people, we are not involved in. And you can read it in verse 5 and verse 8 and verse 9. Would you read it with me? Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Put to death. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. He says, which is idolatry. And then he says, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Do we want to experience the wrath of God? Do we want to be those who are wailing and gnashing our teeth? Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Then he says, you used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. And then in verse 8, he says, But now, rid yourselves of all such things as these. And then he gets real personal. Now, where the rubber meets the road, huh? Get rid of these things. Oh, we thought we had escaped when we read verse 5. But Paul doesn't stop at verse 5. Read verse 8. Anger. Rage. You ever get into a fit of rage? I like to be on the raging side more than on the receiving side when somebody else is in the fit of rage. Malice. Slander, filthy language from your lips. Then he goes on, verse 9. Don't lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new, which is being renewed. You're growing. You're growing away from these. You're leaving these behind. I tried to leave some trash behind, the garbage. What do you call it? That household stuff. I guess it's household garbage. Sometimes it's very, very difficult to leave your garbage behind. Yesterday, we live in the edge of Bedford County, and we drive about 7 miles to the convenience center to get rid of our household garbage. A pickup load. Jamie and Susan were there. Jamie's pickup. We filled it up and took off to the convenience center and got there, and it was closed, closed, closed. No sign, no nothing. Gave the hours it was supposed to be open, but we still have that garbage. And I think that illustrates how hard it is sometimes. We hauled it back home. The garbage in our life, those practices that Christians are supposed to have died to, sometimes they go back home with us. We can't leave them at the altar. It's like I couldn't leave our household garbage at the convenience center. than that we, though we find a profile here of a new life in Christ. 12 through 15. Read that quickly with me. 12 through 15. As God's chosen people, God chose us, we've already said, holy and dearly loved, God loves us so much, He's not mad at us, He just cries when we take our garbage home with us. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And when He puts that in, we think, oh, I've been forgiven a lot. I need to be forgiving also. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. But it doesn't stop there. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And then he talks about how to worship. Verse 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach, as you admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. And then verse 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. What difference does Jesus' coming make in your life? The character of Christian worship. A childhood experience of Jesus. Jesus increased in knowledge or in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Great example for us to follow. Lord God, thank You. Thank You for sending Jesus. Thank You for a time that the church long ago set aside to celebrate. And Lord, if Jesus was born in September, or if Jesus was born in April, or if He was born in January or December, we just pleased that He was born. We thank You that You came into the world in His person and gave Your life to pay for all of our sins. And Lord, give us a new life to live. Thank You for His life, His resurrected life. And thank You, Father, that we have, who have died to sin and self, have been made alive in Christ. In His name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's turn to 372. It's living for Jesus. Living for Jesus. A life that is true. Stand together and sing. Verse 1. Living for Jesus. Thank you. And may the Lord bless you and bless you in such a way that your life will be lived for Him and His glory. Amen and amen. Youth Evangelism Conference, and we announced that in our. We got two grandbabies that we get to keep through Wednesday because our daughter is working. That, well, we hope. So they're 2 and 4. Yeah. Okay, first one?
Second.
Well,
3 months old.
Okay, well, we got a 2-year-old, actually 30 months, and and then a 4-year-old, and they are full of. Oh, we do too. Well, good to see y'all.
Good
yeah.
to see you.
And thanks for.
I
grew up in Mississippi, over in Columbus, and we used to get coal from Coleman, Alabama. I can't even remember the name. Brother Weeks, I think. Or somebody used to drive a coal truck. That was 50 years ago. And all coal over there from that area, I guess, Jasper and everything.
Yeah, in the Walton County area, especially, a lot of coal.
And we had the heat, but I think he had Coleman, Alabama written on his truck. And then
the very southwestern part of Coleman.
Okay. And when we went to, when I traveled to Mississippi, going to Columbus, sometimes I go through Tuscaloosa, or Birmingham and Tuscaloosa. And so good to have y'all with us.
Yes.
And you have a good time in Nashville.
We'll do it.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bless
you.
Okay.
I have a cousin that lives out this way, is what made us see.
Go right up that road right there.
York Road?
Right by his house.
Okay, who is that?
His name is Real, R-E-E-H-L, Roger Real.
Huh. He is,
he works over in the area, some office over there.
Right.
Okay. R-E-H-L.
R-E-E-H-L.
R-E-E-H-L. Okay.
Well, nice.
On
nice.
York Road then.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Go up here, I don't know, 3 or 4 miles.
Okay. Okay.
Back off the road about a minute, a long drive over there.
Okay. 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 All right. Well, good to be with y'all. Hey, Larry.
Hey.
Hey, girl. Tell me all about it, girl. Good to see. Oh, I get a hug.
And I said, we got to go.
We got to go too. You're the leader in that family, I believe.
Is that right?
I wouldn't wake up.
Good to see you, girl. Good to see you.
Who is it? Make it that reference?
Oh, yeah.
He had a lead. He got a nosebleed.
Oh, a nosebleed.
Yeah.
Okay. Abel.
Okay. John. Because she laid on top of it.
Yeah.
His nosebleed.
Yeah. That happens a lot with old men. It gets real thin up in your membrane.
Yeah,
you know?
I know. I have a little bit of a problem. It's been a while.
I'll write on my hand.
He helped me
deliver a basket and everything. I didn't know his whole story, but it's quite an interesting story.
Yeah.
They live over on Maupin.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Built
that's right.
Kind of a strange looking house over there.
I know where it's at.
I have Anna Hasler's bag in your office. Elizabeth's going to run it by there this week.
Okay.
She wasn't home on Tuesday when I went.
Okay.
And I'm going to go back to work tomorrow.
Okay.
So Elizabeth's in
here. Okay.
She'll take it.
Okay. We got you.
Okay.
Hey, young man.
How you doing? I was busy, but she wasn't here.
Okay.
Figured I'd pop in and see you while I'm in town.
Yeah. What's the happening?
Well,
where are you going to end up?
Well, I start the actual flying course on January 4th.
Okay,
but
where
I've been knocking out rivals on stuff.
Down on the beach, I heard, too.
There's a little bit of that.
Your dad's catechism was informed there.
Keep it clear.
Where will you be? Still in Alabama?
I'm still in Alabama until October and November.
Okay. Well, good. You saw
Scott.
Cute little girl. Right off of Albertville Road, I guess.
Right.
He's short. He's short guy.
Shorter every day.
I say they're stretching him.
I guess, thank you, girl. Thank you. Okay. I'm glad you're with us.
Well,
and is the chaplain taking good care of you, or do they ever come around? The chaplain.
Oh yeah, they pop in every once.
Okay.
They're a little understaffed down there.
Are they?
Okay. Well, most of them are employed now.
Okay. Yeah.
They're around every once.
Okay.
Good.
You sound good. You look good. And your dad. We eat once a month, but.